What's up? This is Movies On Up discussion episode. Our favorite movies starring characters that are out of this world. First Contact, Last Stand. I am Dave. Joining me is my otherworldly co-host, Ryan.
I'm from Mars.
And I'm from Venus. I might have got that
no,
wrong.
No, that's right.
Somewhere there's a Uranus joke in there. We are Ryan and Dave from Movies On Up. Tagline this week, First Contact, Last Stand. If you know what that's from, hit us up. Twitter.com at moviesonup. Facebook.com/moviesonup. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tell us what movie that's from. If you're right and we pick you, you will get a prize package. But enough about that. Our discussion this week, favorite movies starring characters that are out of this world. We'll explain that more, but before that, it's time to take a break and do a bonus. These are the top five movies with Alien in the title. Number five, Alien Autopsy. It's a good one about the guys that made the fake Alien Autopsy movie. Number four.
That was the thing that was on Fox?
That was, the Alien Autopsy was on it, but there's a movie called Alien Autopsy that's about the guys that made that.
That did that thing on Fox. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Number four, Monsters vs. Aliens. Number three, Alien Nation. Awesome movie, led to a TV show, not as awesome. Number two, Alien. Number one, Aliens.
When I looked at this, I thought, damn, he put Aliens above Alien.
It was almost 1A and 1B. But
yeah, it could go either way. I can't.
It depends on what day. If I make this list Wednesday, it's probably the other way around. I mean, those, it depends on what day of week it is, if you ask me whether I like Alien or Aliens better. Anyway, the list this week, we thought in honor of Superman, who is an alien from the planet Krypton.
Spoiler alert.
We would take our favorite movies that the main characters or one of the main characters are not of this Earth, but it takes place on Earth. We didn't want to just say like, oh, alien movies or
aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are movies where an alien is trying to make do on the land of Earth. Was there any special way that you went into your list here?
No, not really. Sometimes I have, like last week when we did villains, I said, okay, I'm going to just pick people that have won Oscars for their portrayal of villains. And I was able to fill five. This time, I would say three out of the four. The aliens, yeah, they're alien flicks, but they're really an allegory for something else. There's one movie that isn't an allegory for anything else. It's just a movie that holds a very special place in my heart. So I had to put it on there.
This one was tough because usually I can list, whenever we come up with something, I have like 20 in my head, and then I have to narrow it down to five. This one was a little more difficult because I came up with about eight or nine, and that was about it. And some of them I don't even like. But I think the easiest way to describe, I was trying to explain to my girlfriend what the list was this week, and without giving away a movie, Third Rock from the Sun. Essentially, yeah. That idea of those are aliens living on Earth. So put that in movie form, and that's where our list was coming from, for the most part. Like, there might be, that doesn't exclude, they don't have to be in human form. There are movies that could have aliens. As long as the alien was a character and not just, like, if you got to know the character a little bit.
I guess it would have been like, okay, there's, like, the aliens in Signs. Like, you couldn't really do that.
No, that doesn't count.
No.
Predator, no.
Yeah, no. That one doesn't work either.
I don't want to list anymore, though, because I don't know what you have on your list.
Neither of those.
Yeah, I know that.
It is difficult because, like, there is sort of a genre of alien invasion movies. Like, I love Mars Attacks, but...
But they're not really
right.
a character.
Yeah, definitely not a character that you get to know,
like
especially
War of the Worlds. No.
Right.
Not, so...
So these are a bunch of movies that we didn't put on our list.
Yeah. But let's get to movies we did put on our list. Ryan, your number five movie starring a character that's out of this world.
Directed by Graham Parker from 1988, starring James Caan, Manny Patinkin, and Terrence Stamp. It is your number three on the bonus list. It's Alien Nation.
I honestly didn't think that would show up on either of our lists.
Really? So that's why you put it on that?
Yeah.
I put it on because this is sort of where my allegory started. Spawned a TV show that at times I think it was better than the movie, but there was just much more of it. So it's really hard to say which one's better. But I like the idea of this
Love the idea.
More than the
Love
execution.
The idea of it.
it's an allegory for racism and racial inequity. A lot like we saw in District 9, which you could loosely make the argument that that is could be on this list.
It could be one of our number ones.
I'm not going to make that argument because I don't think that it does belong on the list. At any rate, I won't belabor the point in case it does come back up later. It's, you know, oh, you're disgusting aliens. You belong over here. There's no way we can get along. And it's sort of a buddy cop movie with James Caan and Mandy Patinkin. But that's where I don't, that's why this movie has to be number five for me, because it acts more of a buddy cop rather than, you know, essentially two different races, species trying to get along.
And that's, I do like the movie. I do, but when you take the, you nailed it with the idea is better than the outcome for both of them, because the movie didn't touch on it a bunch like it should have. It was more of a buddy cop movie, but then you go to the TV show.
The
and
show
it's like,
did more.
Oh, you can do a lot more, and they did to an extent, but not to an extent that I wanted them to. I thought they still pussyfooted around a lot of it, but. It's such a cool concept, and it's something that I wouldn't mind revisited.
This isn't a movie, so I know it's not going to be on your list, but when I first started watching True Blood, I thought, oh, great, this is an allegory for racism in the South, except instead of being aliens or...
vampires.
Yeah, they're vampires, and then it turned out to not be that, so that's why I stopped watching it.
The politics stuff in the first season of True Blood was cool.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to do, because I do like the idea of Alien Nation... as opposed to District 9, because they are so different. They're essentially aliens. They're not English-speaking. So you shove them off somewhere else. Alien Nation, they speak our language. Mm-hmm. They can
look very much
like
us.
They can blend in with us very well. Yeah. So you can... they're more... they're easier to adapt.
Integrate.
To but yet there's still going to be this hatred towards them. Yeah. So, I mean, that's one that I wouldn't mind seeing redone and revisited and tackle it less from a buddy cop angle and more from a political statement.
Yeah.
My number five doesn't really make a political statement. Doesn't really have any, it doesn't say anything. From 1998, starring Dan Aykroyd, Kim Basinger, John Lovitz, young Allison Hannigan, and Seth Green.
I was going to ask.
My stepmother is an alien. Dan Aykroyd's a scientist. Some of the work he does gets into outer space, so they send an alien down disguised as Kim Basinger to get close to him. She ends up getting feelings and really becoming attached to young Allison Hannigan. It's a dumb 80s comedy, but it's funny. It's got its moments.
It seems like there are a couple different ways that these movies can go. You know, they can go in the sort of comedy realm, and there are quite a few.
Which most, a few of mine are, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad because I don't have any. We are not going to have any crossover on that front. I don't want to say too much more in case you have one of these
I do.
On your list later. Yeah, there might be another Dan Aykroyd movie that came to mind.
Oh, no, I don't have that one.
Okay, fair enough. As soon as you said Dan Aykroyd, I was like, I wonder if he has Coneheads.
No, no, I didn't like Coneheads.
That's fair enough.
But that one, I never even popped in my head. But that one makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, they can go in a couple of ways. It could be like a... it could be an allegory for racism and try and say so many things, or it can just be like, hey, these guys have funny shaped heads and they like to play ring toss.
Yeah.
Fair enough. My number four is from 1976. It plays a little bit like an experimental film. It's kind of artsy. Yeah. But I think this is the point where people were like, man, David Bowie can act.
I left this movie off
because you knew
I knew
I was
going to
do it.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's one of the first ones that came to mind, but I thought, oh, no, that's going to be on Ryan's.
Yeah. I think I might have said this last week when we were off the air, like, oh, yeah, the Man Who Fell to Earth is probably going to be on my list. It definitely is. It's number four, directed by Nicholas Roeg, starring David Bowie and Rip Torn. Bowie is an alien who gets sent to Earth to collect water for his dying planet. So he kind of wanders around for a little bit trying to get his bearings. Once he does, he has this plan to where he will use his alien intellect to start a technology company and make a bunch of money, because the aliens figured out a way to get him to Earth, but they didn't really have a way to get him back with water. So he needs to make a bunch of money with this technology company to get back to his home planet. Then he sort of gets distracted by booze, becomes an alcoholic, money, success, and chicks. And I think that it's kind of, you know, this is what success can do to a person. You take an alien that is unfamiliar with all these concepts. You know, that alien can be from another planet or, you know, from a place in the Midwest that's not as familiar with kind of the excess that can come from, you know, being ridiculously rich and wealthy and powerful. And then once David Bowie's character gets all this, he kind of forgets why he's been sent to Earth anyway. The hell with this other planet. They can die. I'm fine.
Yeah, that happens in one of my later ones. It's a good movie. It fits perfectly. My number four, I took a break from the comedies, but went into 1984, directed by John Carpenter, starring Jeff Bridges, Karen Allen, Starman. Really good movie. Jeff Bridges takes over the body of Karen Allen's dead husband and then asks her to drive him to, I believe it's Wisconsin, to the rendezvous point where he dies. It's so good. And Jeff Bridges is so really, really good in this movie. And Karen Allen, at that point, Karen Allen was just awesome. Everything she did was, she was great in. So it's so good because there's more to it than just, it's not the comedic look at your fish out of water. It's just he's doing it to survive. And, you know, she's with her dead husband, essentially. So there's the emotions that she has to deal with. But then he does the dead deer that he resurrects.
It's like a less sappy version of Ghost.
A little bit. And then, but with the NSA on their tail. Yeah. It's a really cool movie. And it came out when I was 5, and I saw it shortly after, like right when it was on VHS. And just every time I run a yellow light, I think of this movie because there's that point where he's trying to learn English. His disc wasn't that great that he learned it from. So he's learning the ways by watching her. And it's just, red means stop, green means go, yellow means go faster. Like, and it's just such a funny moment in there. And it's so good. He's so good in it. She's great. It's just a really good movie.
And it's, you know, we talk a lot about John Carpenter, and this is a movie that never gets talked about.
Because it's so far out of what he's known for.
Yeah, but it shows that if he wanted to, he could do something differently and do something just as well. But, you know, he's known for doing XYZ because he does XYZ. Awesome. But I'm glad you put that one on there. It didn't. I don't know why it didn't make my list.
It was
very
the first
well
one.
Have.
I think I mentioned it last week. I think it was my example.
Yeah.
Explaining to you what the list is. I think it was my example because it was the first thing that came to mind.
I will use that as an excuse on why I didn't put it because subconsciously I knew it was going to be on yours. I'm relatively certain that my number three isn't on yours. Or if it is, maybe one of the remakes is on your list. But I don't think it's 1951's The Day the Earth Stood Still, directed by Robert Wise, starring Michael Rennie and Patricia Neal. There was kind of a theme in 50s sci-fi. It was, you know, coming after. There was a couple themes. We'll talk about another one later. But coming off World War II, when we had sort of harnessed the power of the atom bomb, and, you know, you had atom bomb, you had the hydrogen bomb, which essentially explodes the air that we breathe. People were really worried about that, as well they should be. And that kind of came out in a lot of sci-fi flicks, where this one, Klaatu, the alien, comes to Earth to warn us about kind of the stance that the rest of the universe is taking. Humans have got this power that we have no ability, we shouldn't have, because we don't have the discipline to have it. There's another movie that I just watched this weekend again, Plan 9 from Outer Space, is another, it's a ridiculous movie, but that's essentially why the aliens come to Earth in that one, is because they're afraid that we're going to explode the sunlight. But again, it's alien intervention to stop us from wiping out the rest of the universe. This one I like because this alien that everyone thinks is here to do us harm is to protect us, to come to this violent planet where he's in danger to try and save us, and the reaction that he gets is tremendous. And it's just like, oh, yeah, you were right.
Which is why the remake was such a disappointment. Because it is a story that could be updated to fit now, and they just didn't deliver.
It can be updated because the movie's, you know, God, 60, 70 years old. But I think it came along in a perfect time, where the bomb was so new, everybody was so scared to death of it. And, you know, we still, there was still the whole, you know, flying saucers, Martians. I think it was really a perfect storm. And I think the movie, even as it is in 51, I think it holds up today. I mean, obviously, like Gort, the big robot, the special effects they're not going to blow you away. But that really only happens at the end. Most of it is just this alien that looks just like a human, you know, running around having kind of these interactions with people. And I don't think that needed to be updated. But Keanu Reeves is essentially an alien anyway, so yeah, it's good casting.
Like, that casting was good. But my number three, now I'm back to the comedies. But from a director the director of The Graduate, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Heartburn, Working Girls, Postcards from the Edge, Regarding Henry, The Birdcage, 2000s, What Planet Are You From? Starring Gary Shandling, Annette Bening, Greg Kinnear, John Goodman, Judy Greer, Linda Fiorentino. From director Mike Nichols. That's such a weird mix of everything here. Because you have Gary Shandling, who is just hilarious. And this is coming off, you know, Larry Sanders. It just ended.
That was one of his first, like, real big.
It was like
headlining movies, right?
His maybe, like, yeah. He didn't have a bunch of them. Yeah. But this was after Larry Sanders. And he was the headliner of this movie. Up with Annette Bening. And then Greg Kinnear, John Goodman. It's so good. He's basically from a planet to where they clone themselves. And that's how they reproduce. But then they send him to Earth with a vibrating, humming penis to impregnate an Earth woman, stick around until the babies come out, and then take it back to their planet. And it's funny, it's hilarious, but there's so much more to it. And he does develop. It's so good. You think of a Gary Shandling vehicle, and there's a lot more heart than you would expect, but just as much like Gary Shandling hilarity that you would. It's so good. And I mean, it's legitimately, I have it above Starman, which I think is a good movie, because I think it's a different movie than if you didn't see it or you only saw it once back then. I think it's a different movie than you remember it, because it's not just slapsticky. There's a lot more to it, and it does have a lot about emotions and stuff, but it's a really good movie, and I like Gary Shandling a lot, so maybe I'm biased, but it's a good movie.
I'm glad that you put that movie where you put it, because my number two will piggyback nicely onto it. It is about alien reproduction. It is not a better movie than any of the three that I've mentioned to this point, but it has a very special place in my heart because when it came out.
So not just your heart.
Well, no, not really. It came out in 95, directed by Roger Donaldson. It is Species, starring Natasha Henstridge, Michael Madsen, Ben Kingsley, Alfred Molina, Forest Whitaker, Mark Helgenberger, and Michelle Williams as a very young version of Syl. Not a great movie.
You forget how great the cast is until you go back through it.
Because as a child in middle school, I was not interested in Michael Madsen being in this movie or
Ben Kingsley, Forest Whitaker.
Right, didn't care. This was all about Natasha Henstridge. That was it. I can remember being on, I think it was our eighth grade class trip. We were in Toronto, and Species was on HBO the night that we were in our hotel rooms. And it was the seventh and eighth grade class. The next morning, you'd have thought that there was like a giant, like a note that went under everyone's door that said, Species is on tonight, because everyone saw it. That was all the guys were talking about the next day. It was, oh my God. And I mean, it has everything that you would want
as a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. I mean, it had boobs and it had blood. That was it. I think like this movie and Barbed Wire were kind of like the two that, as an adolescent child, It was your life's goal to see these two movies.
But the difference is that Species tried to do something. They actually tried to make a legitimate thriller. That was all overlooked and missed because of Henstridge. So the following sequels just threw all that out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And focused on what people wanted. But the first one legitimately tried. Failed, ultimately, but it tried to be something else.
I honestly don't know if it succeeded or if it failed, but it's one of the, like, everybody knows it. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those movies that, you know, you said you've probably got it on as an honorable mention. It had to make my list just because the age I was and how hard I tried to see that movie forever. It fits this list. I mean, she is the main character. She is an alien. And the deaths were kind of neat. Again, it was about aliens trying to kind of take over, but in a different way, by screwing dudes.
Yeah. My number two, a little different than that. It's back to the comedy. Just a couple years ago, 2011, didn't do all that. People didn't seem to like it, but I thought it was hilarious. Paul, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Seth Rogen, Jason Bateman, Joe Latruglio, Kristen Wiig stole the show. Just so many funny people in this movie, and I think it worked. I don't know why it got the backlash that it did. It's a really funny, good movie.
I saw that in the theater, and I remember kind of liking it, but I forgot about it when it came to this list. It never entered my mind. But it's a good, I mean, it's a good pick.
I mean, Kristen Wiig is so funny. And it just the fact that, like, these two nerds find an alien that...
On their way to a Star Wars convention, I think.
That basically just shoots down all of their preconceived notions of aliens. And it's just, Seth Rogen's awesome as the voice. Jason Bateman and Joe Latruglia hunting them down. Like, it's just so many funny people, and they're all good. They're all really good. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, they're more as the leading men in this and not so much the comedic action, which was kind of weird for them. But
yeah, it didn't seem like...
Like, it wasn't about them being funny. They were there to carry that movie.
They were kind of the straight men.
Yeah,
it was,
and everybody else carried the movie. And it was... I liked it a lot. Like, I think people kind of dismissed it right away, but it's so funny. I mean, just Kristen Wiig in that movie. That's one of my favorite... I mean, that's... easily my favorite Kristen Wiig performance. I mean, she's hilarious in it. She steals the show. There's an awesome cameo at the end that just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's a really funny, good movie, and it does fit this because they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to be on the run with this alien without giving him away while he's also adapting and he eats the bird. It's just, there's so many like good moments in this movie.
Yeah, good flick. I'm glad you kind of reminded me of it because I had forgotten about it. Maybe I'll go back and rewatch it. Might like it more, even more, the second time. My number one could have been any one of three movies, really. And by three movies, I mean the three versions of this movie. There was at least three. There was one from 56. There was one in the early 90s, I think. mid-90s, and then the one that I picked from 1978, it is Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Philip Kaufman directed this one. Cast really, really good. Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, Jeff Goldblum, Veronica Cartwright, and Spock, Leonard Nimoy, was in that movie. Again, I had mentioned there's quite a few versions of this. It was based off a Jack Finney 1955 novel. This is my favorite version. I have seen the three that I mentioned, the one from the 50s, the one from the 70s, and then the newer
Donald
one.
Donald Sutherland one.
Yeah. I had mentioned in the 50s there was kind of this thought about the bomb being a big driving force behind 50s sci-fi. I think especially when it comes to this particular movie, the other driving force behind it was communism, in that, you know, the Russians could have spies here and they would look just like us. They would act just like us. And that's what you get from the body snatchers. It's, you know, pod people that are just like us, but they are, you know, alien replacements. It's the thought that, you know, your neighbor could be a pod person. Well, your neighbor could also be a communist spy, and we wouldn't realize it until it's too late and the Reds are parachuting onto the White House lawn. After taking a detour with Natasha Henstridge's boobies, this kind of gets back to the allegory of aliens as something else. All my other aliens, well, I mean, I guess in Species, like, she had the human female form, so she was able to pass, but, you know, the aliens in Alien Nation didn't look the same. Bowie did.
Keanu did.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess most of them, my aliens, did look very much like people. And but they weren't necessarily for nefarious reasons. This one, that was part of the plot, is to pass off as humans until it was time to really pull the rug out from under us. But I think that worked well for, you know, what we were all afraid the Soviets were going to do. And by we, of course, I mean me, because I was alive in the 50s and whatever. It's my favorite. And I think it's the best in terms of allegories. I think it works.
See, I took it more as an invasion movie and kind of dismissed this one. But it makes sense there.
I just meant that
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah. You have characters that, spoiler alert, you find out are pod people. They're aliens.
Yeah. My number one, it's an allegory on racism. It's an allegory on apartheid. It takes it from both angles. What happens if you spend so much of your life discriminating against this one breed, but then what happens if you become one of them and you have to learn to not only see what it's like to be treated like they are, but also be accepted by them? It is District 9, because it does tell a good story, and there's this whole district of aliens that are living there trying to adapt on Earth, and we're not making it easy for them. We're actually making it much more difficult when all they want to do is go home, and we're essentially not letting them do anything that would allow them to go home, and we're just treating them like crap. And Sharlto Copley starts transforming into one, so he's, you know, got to see it from their side, and it's a cool take. And I say it because it doesn't just follow Sharlto Copley. Like, you get to know Christopher, and for a CGI character, there's so much emotional depth there, and he actually is a character. It's not just this alien. Like, you learn his motivation, you learn his mannerisms, you learn, like, what he wants to do, and you understand him as a character.
It was like Caesar from Apes.
From Rise of Planet of the Apes. Exactly. Like, he's not, I mean, you get to see enough of his world that you understand where he's coming from. And yeah, they're not fitting in that great on Earth, but we're not letting them. Like, they did nothing wrong except show up, and they're paying for it. And he wants to go home and end it. And Sharlto Copley, who was right in the forefront of treating them like crap, is now forced to see the repercussions of it. And it's so good because it does show both sides of it. And throw in some awesome action in there, and a really good, it's built with such an emotional core. Like, you see, you know, Christopher's world's been falling apart for so long, he's trying to rebuild it. Sharlto Copley's world has been so good, and now it's falling apart. So it's kind of, you see them at different points in their life, and
they kind of intersect.
They intersect, and it's, and then you see the fallout and the aftermath of everything that Wickus has done up to that point, and it's so good, and it's such a heartbreaking ending, and there's so much understanding between the two sides that haven't seen eye to eye yet, and it's just such a good movie. Like, I love this movie. Like, I couldn't leave this movie off, because this is a top 10 movie ever for me. I mean, I absolutely love this movie. Everything about it is just so good, because it is built on emotion, and the action's awesome, and the story is great, and it's relevant. I mean, it takes place where apartheid was an issue, and it's just so good, and I thought it fit perfectly.
Yeah, I guess when I had first kind of spoiled it with my number five, it never really entered my mind for this particular discussion, because when I think of this movie, I think of it as a Sharlto Copley joint, and it essentially just follows him. And while it really, I mean, it does, he's the central character in the movie. I mean, you're right. The other aliens do play pretty big roles in it. And I think that's where, you know, it belongs on this list. It's just, it's not something that I thought of, because I don't remember, I guess, how big of a role they played in it. It's been probably a couple years since I've seen it, but kind of thinking back on it, hearing you talk about it, I was like, yeah, I can absolutely see where that fits on the list. And I mean, I like it. I would watch it probably above 4 out of the 5 movies on my list. I'd still watch Species at the drop of a hat, I think.
Drop of a pants.
Yeah, that too. Drop of a top, whatever. But it is really good. it wasn't like I was ready to argue with you about it. I think I would have. But you convinced me. That absolutely belongs on the list.
I mean, I don't remember a movie to where aliens landed like that and we kind of just made them our bees. You know, like we just smacked them in the face right from the get-go and just kind of treated them like scum. And treated them like prawn. No, so that's mine. Some of the obvious ones we missed.
E.T. Like,
E.T. is
stop,
the obvious one.
Stop the emails.
Shut up.
Yes.
E.T. E.T. is the obvious one. Mac and Me, I think, is an obvious one. One that is kind of outside the box that I'm sure if you've listened to the show, it wouldn't have surprised you if it was on my list. Earth Girls Are Easy. I don't like that movie that much. And then one that came to mind that I don't like the movie, but it makes sense, Powder.
Obviously, E.T. probably... And maybe it doesn't go above District 9 on your list, but I think, you know, if you have E.T., realistically, it's probably going to be very, very high on the list, if not number one. But I do feel like everybody's seen that. Now, there are movies on, I don't know, I feel like with the possible exception of Species.
I feel like everybody's seen What Planet Are You From?
I don't know
no,
about
I'm
that. Yeah, about exactly. That. So, I mean, a lot of times, you know, we do try, and I feel like we say this almost every week, but, you know, we will leave off ones that seem incredibly obvious for that reason, because they're incredibly obvious. Sometimes you can't leave it off, like my number one and number two villains last week. I was picking people that won the Oscar for their portrayal in villains. Couldn't leave off those two guys. No matter how much I wanted to, it just wouldn't have made any sense. I feel like, you know, just for, you know, aliens main characters, yeah, we could leave off E.T. And I'm glad you did too, because I don't feel like just the jerk for doing it.
This was one of the harder ones to research for, kind of, too.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it was all from memory. Like, it had to be. There wasn't any easy Google search that you could look up and try to get ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been, if we were doing, you know, alien invasion movies, that would have been much easier.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure we probably would have had more crossover.
But, I'm actually shocked there was no crossover here.
Yeah, especially when I saw, like,
I really am.
You said it was a hard one to do, and I was like, oh no, he put Alien Nation on there. That's got to be on his list somewhere. I'm glad it wasn't.
I actually forgot about it until I wrote down the bonus list, or else it would have been.
Oh, well, good. I was going to say, like, what would have been the fifth movie on your bonus list, but then I realized that you probably didn't have a backup for Alien Nation. Fair enough.
No.
If you've got a backup for anything, just anything other than E.T., like, send us any other...
We know E.T. exists.
Yeah, we get it. So if there's another movie that you like, if you're a fan of Species 2, I'd love to hear about it.
Or the 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Without Natasha.
Was she... I know she wasn't in the fourth one. I don't know if she's in the third one or not.
I don't know.
It's irrelevant. I'll just watch the first one. What do I need to see the second one for?
Let's watch the first one in 30-second increments. But every time we do a discussion episode, we try to do a focused bonus watch this. So this week, Ryan, tell them something to watch, a movie with Earth in the title.
This gets back to, like, I absolutely knew what you were going to pick. And way to go to the well for it for, like, the third week in a row. But I'm going, I don't feel like it's really out of left field for me. It's from 1964. It is a Vincent Price joint, which is essentially... I Am Legend, but I like it better. It's The Last Man on Earth. Surprise, Vincent Price plays The Last Man on Earth, except he's not The Last Man on Earth. You find that out.
Find Morgan Freeman and his people later.
Yeah, exactly. And a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bonus, it's easy. I cheated. Another Earth from a few years ago, written by and starring Britt Marling. So I've talked about it enough.
We talked about it a little bit a couple
in
weeks
our
ago.
Sound of My Voice episode.
Yeah, which apparently has been well received.
Yeah.
So if you
a
haven't,
bit.
If you haven't checked it out, you are probably the only one. So go back and listen to it. Apparently it was good or something.
So yeah, we are Ryan and Dave from Movies on Up. If you're new to Movies on Up, we do a news episode early in the week and a discussion episode, which is this. So check us out early next week. Next week our discussion episode is going to be favorite girl duos. For the sure heat, Ryan wanted some of those in Species, but
it wouldn't have made any sense. How is she going to get impregnated by another girl, Dave? That just doesn't make any sense for the plot.
But we are Movies On Up. You can find us on Twitter at Movies On Up, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, MoviesOnUp.com, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes. Rate us. Leave us a review, and check us out on Stitcher. I can be found at Dave Bacella on Twitter, DaveBacella.com. And I have another show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's EricandDave.com, Eric with a K.
That's it for us this week. Hopefully you found this episode to be out of this world. We look forward to getting back at you next week with some news. And if ahead of time you've got any of your favorite girl teams, let us know, because I will put them in my list and then I don't have to come up with one. That will be great. So send me 5 collectively and I'll put them on there, I promise. But until next week,
keep it up.